There was this psychological experiment conducted at Princeton University in the 1970s. And here's what they did. They got students from Princeton Seminary to participate. They had them be in a room in one building and take a survey about their beliefs. And then they asked some of them in the study to give a speech about being a seminary student. And they asked some of them to prepare a quick sermon on a Bible story, the Good Samaritan. Now, you'll probably remember that story. It's kind of famous. It's a story that Jesus tells, a parable, about a man who is robbed on the road and beaten up and left there. And a priest comes by and a Levite comes by, and neither of them stop. They just keep going. And then a Samaritan, somebody who's from another town, from another place, who's supposed to be the enemy, comes by, and the Samaritan stops and helps the guy who's in need. Okay, so the experiment is, they have some people just preparing a speech about things, and then they have some people preparing a sermon about this particular story. And that's the whole thing that the participants thought the study was going to be about. Did the survey about their beliefs match up with the sermons they do or the speeches they give? But the real experiment was on the way to give the speech or the sermon. The people doing the experiment made them go to a different building for that, and they had an actor set up along the way. And it was kind of in a small alley. It was only 4 feet across, apparently. So you had to pass right by this actor. And he was acting like he was in need. And what the experimenters really wanted to see was how many people would stop. And would you be more likely to stop if where you were headed was to give a sermon about somebody who stops and helps? Well, what do you think that they found? Do you think that the ones who were going to preach were more likely to stop? They weren't. No, that's not what they found. What they found was the deciding factor about whether or not somebody would stop to help was how much time they had. Whether they thought they were running late, or they thought they were just on time, or if they thought they had plenty of time. Those who thought they had plenty of time were much more likely to stop and help. But here's my thing about that whole experiment, which that was done way before I was there, but at my seminary that we went to, by the way, so we would talk about it a lot. But here's my thing with it. The story of the Good Samaritan has nothing to do with time. We don't know how much time he had. Maybe he was on vacation, and that's why he was on the road, and you know, maybe he had nothing better to do than stop, and so that's not really what the story is about. Maybe the Samaritan himself wouldn't begrudge those preachers for hurrying on to meet their other responsibility that they had. I think that those psychologists should have given them today's story for the preachers to preach and see if they got different results. Because the story today, there's a sense of time, there's a sense of urgency, there's a time clock. So Jesus and his disciples have been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They were healing the Gerasene demoniac last week. And then they get on the boat and they head back over. And as soon as their boat lands, right there's a crowd. They see their boat coming into shore. They come gather around. And one of the guys in the crowd is Jairus. He's a leader at the synagogue. And in fact, the fact that he's given a name in Mark's gospel is important. Mark doesn't really name the characters much, so he's important, and he comes and he begs Jesus, come quickly, come right now. My daughter is dying, please come. So Jesus goes, and he's not just wandering, he's not on vacation, he has a destination, he has a commitment, he has a goal, a mission. And on his way, with Jairus right there with him and with his disciples, he's interrupted. It's similar to the story of the Good Samaritan. On the way somewhere, and he stopped. And he's moving through this crowd. They're hurrying, and he says he feels the power go out of him. He can feel that somebody touched his clothes and was healed. So what will he do? Will he keep going or will he stop? I think this gives us a better parallel for the experiment because it wasn't just time that kept those participants in the study from stopping. It wasn't just a sense of time. It was commitment. It was priorities. Not wanting to let the other person down. Not wanting to let down the whole room of people that is expecting them. And I get that. It's one of the things I like the least in this world is being late when people are expecting me. Meeting people's expectations and living up to our commitments, that's a strong motivator. And it's not a bad one. It's just, if we're trying to be like Jesus, what does he do? Well, Jesus does stop. He stops and he asks, "Who touched me?" And his disciples say, "What do you mean, who touched you? There's a whole crowd pressed in. Everybody is touching you. Let's go. We need to get to Jairus' daughter. There's a pressing need." But Jesus, even already knowing that the woman that touched his cloak has been physically healed, stops. He takes the time. He seeks out the woman. He looks around to find her, and he takes the time to listen to her whole story. He doesn't just feel touched to say, "Oh, who did that? Oh, good, you're good. Let's keep going." He hears her whole story. It says she told him the whole truth. But he's supposed to be on his way somewhere urgent. Unlike the Good Samaritan experiment, there was a good, compelling reason for Jesus to ignore the sick woman on the way. In fact, it turns out that because of this interruption, while he's still speaking to this other woman, Jairus' daughter dies. Now, he does end up healing the little girl, Jairus' daughter, but he ends up continuing to the house, and he raises the girl from the dead. But imagine being Jairus, right there with Jesus, getting the news that because of this pause, this seemingly less urgent need, this woman got a conversation with Jesus when his daughter only had moments to live. So for some reason, Jesus thinks the conversation is worth it. I think it's because he has a different goal. He has different priorities. The people in Mark's gospel, and maybe us too, are very interested in healing. It's why there are always crowds pressing around him. It's why he can't get a moment's peace. It's why he's famous in Mark's gospel. It's not for his teaching or anything else he's doing. It's because he's healing people. The people are always coming to be healed. It's why Jairus is waiting for him as soon as he gets off the boat. And it's why this woman comes and seeks him out and touches his clothes. But Jesus is not interested in the healings as much. I mean, he's doing that. But do you remember back when the paralyzed man is brought with his friends and they have to lower him through the roof? And the first thing Jesus says is not, "You're healed." He seems not even that interested in the healing. He starts out with, "Your sins are forgiven." And everyone's like, "Wait, what? We just want him to walk." And Jesus says, "Oh, okay, like you want to heal his body, that's fine. Then stand up and take your mat and go home." But that's not what Jesus thought the priority was. Jesus' priority was not just the physical healing. He chooses to stop for this woman because what he's really there for is to bring a deeper healing. This woman, because of her condition, has been for 12 years excluded from society. She's ritually unclean. She needs connection. She needs inclusion. She needs to know that she has a place, that she has people. The girl that's on her deathbed, her body is in a bad way, in a worse way than the woman, but she has a whole house full of people to weep for her, to wail for her. Jesus has to make them get out of the way when he gets there. She has a family. She has a father who would go and beg on her behalf. She's someone's daughter. So yes, it matters to Jesus. It matters to Jesus to stay and heal this other unnamed woman, and not only that, but to hear her whole story. It matters to Jesus to stay and say to her, daughter. He calls her daughter, which is the deeper healing that she needed to hear. Daughter, go in peace and be healed. Because that is the priority for Jesus. So that we can know, when there's no one to go on our behalf, when we need to know that we have a place and that we belong, God claims us. When there's nobody else to call us daughter or child, God claims us. God hears our story and calls us children of God. So may you know that kind of healing. May we all know that kind of healing. In the name of God, the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, who would stop for us. Amen.